This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
The Delta coronavirus variant is still going strong. Vaccination rates are stagnant, but requiring workers to get a shot might be tricky.
Companies would have to walk that legal tightrope and make sure they carve out exceptions for religion, for medical reasons, for pregnancy, disability. So companies have to weigh whether or not they're willing to sort of take on those exceptions and legal challenges.
And big tech reported earnings today, plus how Facebook's Instagram is upping protections for younger users. It's Tuesday, July 27th. I'm Janet Babin for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved your world today. President Biden says that requiring vaccinations against COVID-19 for all federal employees is under consideration. The statement comes after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reversed course today, recommending that vaccinated people go back to wearing masks in public indoor spaces. This marks a change from the CDC's earlier guidance and comes as cases of the COVID-19 Delta variant have surged and vaccination rates have slowed. We'll have more on how private employers are handling vaccinations as they try to get workers back on the job later in the show. Four police officers who defended the U.S. Capitol during the riots on January 6th testified today at the Democratic-led House Select Committee hearing. Our Washington reporter, Alexa Kors, says the big focus of this first hearing was how the officers experienced that day.
Officers, talked about how they were punched, beaten, trampled, and more by the mob. Some of them thought they were going to die there. It was difficult to hear. Some of the officers, some members of Congress choked up at times today. I think the bigger point that, what Democrats, what the committee members, the bigger point they wanted to make is that to remind the public that this happened, we need an investigation to make sure it won't happen again. That was kind of the broader theme of why hold this hearing.
A trio of strong earnings from big tech show that their pandemic boom has yet to slow. Apple had its best spring quarter in history, bringing in $21.7 billion in profit. Customers continue to embrace new iPhones. Sales were up 50% compared to the same period last year. The company is on pace for its best fiscal year ever, but investors are concerned the streak could be hampered in the coming quarter by the microprocessor shortage roiling the tech and auto industries. Fueled by a gusher of online advertising, Google's parent company Alphabet reported its largest sales growth in 14 years, up nearly 70%, and that its profits doubled in the second quarter. And Microsoft also posted another quarter of record sales, up more than 21% from the year before, driven by continued growth in its cloud computing business. Its $16.5 billion in profit exceeded analysts' expectations. But Microsoft's video game business, which had been supercharged in the pandemic, has started to slow. Airlines at some smaller airports in the western U.S. are grappling with jet fuel shortages as that region struggles with smoke from wildfires and pent-up travel demand. A lack of truck drivers has also added to the fuel challenges in recent weeks. Here's our airline industry reporter, Allison Sider.
There are a lot of ways that airlines deal with it when they are facing a fuel supply situation. They can fly into an airport carrying extra fuel. They can add a fuel stop, which is, not passengers' favorite solution, because if you had a nonstop flight and all of a sudden you've got to stop to add more fuel, that's a little inconvenient, but that's something else that airlines can do. And the airlines are asking the government right now to step in and help them increase jet fuel shipments to at least one of the airports, to the Reno airport.
Billionaire Jeff Bezos says he'd forego $2 billion in fees if NASA would agree to fold his Blue Origin space firm into its lunar lander contract. NASA had originally planned to contract with two companies as part of its effort to return astronauts to the moon by the end of the decade, but opted to go with Elon Musk's company, SpaceX, alone because of budget constraints. NASA has said its decision regarding the contract is not final. A spokesman for SpaceX didn't respond to a request for comment. And the U.S. women's gymnastics team broke its gold streak, taking silver this morning after superstar Simone Biles withdrew from the competition. Biles said she pulled out of the Olympic team final because she wasn't in the right mental place to continue.
I tried to go out here and have fun and warm up in the back went a little bit better. But then once I came out here, I was like, no, mental is not there. So I just need to let the girls do it and focus on myself.
Russia's team claimed the gold medal and Great Britain took bronze. Biles' status for the individual all-around events is still uncertain. Coming up, will workplaces start mandating vaccines as they look to reopen?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Vaccination rates have stalled in some states, and the Delta COVID-19 variant continues to spread. This week, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs became the first federal agency to require employee vaccinations, while California became the first state to do so for its public workers. New York City says without a vaccine, city employees will need weekly tests. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio called on the private sector to follow suit.
Each private sector employer needs to do what they believe is right, but I would strongly urge a vaccination mandate whenever possible or as close to it as possible, at minimum requiring all your employees to get vaccinated or to do weekly testing.
But can businesses do that? Here to talk about this is Wall Street Journal Life and Work reporter Ray Smith. Hey, Ray, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Ray, a growing number of entities are requiring workers to get vaccinated, but fewer than you might think. What do you think it is that is holding some companies back from making the vaccine mandatory? Is it the legal implications they may face?
It's a couple of things. It's the legal implications. It's complicated, especially if companies have operations in numerous states, because there are a couple of states that have legislation that's pending on whether or not companies can indeed mandate a vaccine. So companies are sort of in limbo waiting for that. In addition, they're waiting for the FDA to fully approve any one of the vaccines, moving them beyond emergency use authorization. But also, you know, as the Journal has been reporting, it's a tight labor market, and some companies are fearful that employees might balk at having to be forced to get a shot and quit and go to the competition or go find another job. In addition to the legal complications, one of the issues that's come up is that companies would have to carve out exceptions for certain populations. And so companies would have to walk that legal tightrope and make sure they carve out exceptions for religion, for medical reasons, for pregnancy, disability. So companies have to weigh whether or not they're willing to sort of take on those exceptions and legal challenges if they move forward with this. Companies were really hoping that by encouraging employees with whether it was bonuses or a free day off, a bonus day off if you go get vaccinated, or any other kinds of incentives, they were really hoping that employees would just do this on their own, that they would want to do this. Unfortunately, the amount of people that voluntarily, you know, got vaccinated isn't enough. And now companies are finding, especially with the Delta variant, that they may have to make employees do it or else, or at least if not mandate that they get vaccinated, some companies are requiring that they submit to weekly COVID testing.
What about employee advocacy groups? Is there consensus among those groups?
I talked with one lawyer who works on the employee side. She's an employee rights lawyer. And her take was the bottom line is that companies can enforce these mandates. They have every right to, unless, you know, the employee is in one of those protected groups, protected by law, disabled, has medical reasons, has religious objections. But what they say is that they basically really should pay attention to what the laws say. And that's the only way they can make their claims, if they're going to bring up any claims, if individuals are going to bring up any claims, because there was a case in Houston where a bunch of employees got together and filed a lawsuit basically saying that this mandate is forcing us to be guinea pigs for this emergency use drug. And they lost that case. And so that's sort of a wake-up call to employees in terms of how many times or how many instances they can really sort of try to force an employer's hand. In a lot of cases, employees may have a tough time winning cases if they're not under that protected class.
Ray, did you get a sense of what workers think?
Workers are split. I talked with one worker this morning who actually works for a nonprofit. She's all for employers requiring that employees get vaccinated. In her case, she works for a nonprofit that deals with children. And so because children can't be vaccinated, she's especially concerned. So she thinks that places that work with children, whether they're schools or nonprofits like hers, or even in a healthcare setting, she really strongly believes that there should be mandates for those kinds of workers. But there are employees who feel like my employer should not be in my business like that and should not be required to make me get this vaccine that I'm not sure about, that I have real objections to. So it's really a sharp divide and strong opinions, as you can imagine, on how workers feel about this. But the bottom line is that employees will have to make a choice.
Also, right, sectors vary, right? I mean, there's a different risk profile among, for example, healthcare workers versus fast food or office workers, I would imagine.
That's right. And that's why you're seeing such a push, especially among healthcare companies and hospitals. They're among the first and most vocal who are considering or who have already moved forward with mandatory vaccine policies, but also like public-facing industries, whether it be airlines or entertainment, for instance, they may also be more prone to consider it. Although we found some examples of Wall Street firms that are considering returning to their offices. They've been the most vocal about wanting all their employees back to the offices sooner rather than later. They are really trying to push for their employees to be vaccinated to make that return possible. It's going to also depend on where they are in terms of what they were planning, if they were planning more hybrid workplaces or allowing more of their employees to do remote work. But it's going to depend on sector, on where you're going to see this push happen more.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ray Smith, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally, Instagram is getting a makeover for teens. The social media app announced today that it's rolling out more protections for its younger users. Starting this week, Instagram will make teenagers' accounts private by default, and it'll limit how advertisers can target users under the age of 18. Our Facebook reporter, Jeff Horwitz, says the company is trying to address rising concerns about how social media affects kids.
Yeah, so Facebook and Instagram have, you know, long been focused on the next generation of users, and they are, you know, I think making a pretty big effort right now to sort of argue that they are publicly in a position and they publicly are sort of worthy of being able to serve users that young. So part of that is going to be keeping younger kids off of the main platforms, Instagram in particular. I don't think anyone's as focused on Facebook on this front. And they say they're going to use AI to do that. But, you know, they're just starting to work on that. So, there's not really any success or sort of metrics that can be looked at to see whether they're actually going to be able to pull it off.
And that is what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Janet Babin for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.